Monday, March 11, 2019, Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting at 1:02 p.m.
All righty, looks like it's close enough to 1:02. We'll go ahead and get our meeting started. A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted to the west wall near the entrance of the county boardroom. It's available for review by all citizens. We'll start with public comment. If anybody has any... Well, let's do the Pledge of Allegiance first.
Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Marty?
Yes.
Tony?
Here.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
All right. Open the floor to public comment if anybody wants to make comment. Any comments on anything that is not on the docket for today? All right. Consent agenda items. We're going to approve the previous minutes from February 25th, 2019.
I'll make the motion to approve the minutes from February 25th, 2019.
Second.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Here. Yep. Under new business, A, we're going to approve the payroll claims, payroll claims February 24th through March 9th.
So everything okay?
Yep, I reviewed the claims. Everything seemed to be in order. There were a couple of people that have moved on from the county, and there were a couple of new hires. Hired a new deputy. I see Hanish went to Omaha, I believe, and new jailers. So everything appeared to be in order.
Okay. Make a motion to approve that payroll claims.
I'll second that.
From 24th to March 9th.
Kevin?
I'll abstain from that.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty? Tony?
Yes. Yep.
We're going to go ahead and change order just a little bit. I see Lou's here. Public defender requesting the board to execute a participant loan program document with Nationwide Retirement Solutions, the administrative service provider for the employee's voluntary 457B retirement plan. Authorizing the administrative services provider to establish procedures for administering plan loans and permitting the administrative service provider to make plan loans to plan participants. All right. Go ahead, Lou.
That's pretty much what I'd be asking for. 457B retirement plans allow for optional provisions that would allow employers to grant participants loans off of their funds that they've put aside for retirement. All of the provisions in regards to what loans, what amounts can be made and all that stuff is regulated by the Internal Revenue Code. And so I'd just be asking the board to take official action to allow Nationwide Retirement Solutions as the administrator of that plan. But the board would need to take official action to allow them to establish those provisions and to grant loans to participants.
Joan and I have talked to representatives from Nationwide earlier today when I was in here, and in conversations with the representatives, our concern was that if we allow that by an employee, will it affect anybody else's plan? We were assured that it would not, that it's a fairly common practice within other entities. So it's just something if we need to decide if we want to allow our employees that are participants in that plan to get a loan against, you know, basically their own money. We don't have the documents, do we, at this time? Joan?
No.
It would, the board should vote today whether to go ahead with the amendment or not, and then I'll get an amendment from the Nationwide, and then we'll put that on the next agenda for signature. We talked with Matt Ring. He said having a loan program available sometime encourages participants in the program, knowing that their money is not is accessible to them if they would need it. Otherwise, it's not accessible until they retire or quit their job. He just cautioned that the borrower knew that they had a certain time to pay it back, and they're paying it back with taxable money, and then they'll be taxed. All that goes in there. They're paying themselves back. If the loan is 2% interest, that 2% interest actually goes back into their account. So then when they retire and take it out, they pay tax again on that. So it's a little bit of double taxation if you would borrow against that slim interest.
One of the drawbacks is that you're not accruing that interest that you would have if you left that money in your retirement account. But what the Internal Revenue Code requires is that you pay it back. I think they use the standard loan rate, which would be about 5 or 6%, so you'd have to pay it back with that amount of interest. So if you would have made 8% interest, you're losing out on that.
They also assured us that all of the accounting and all of the paperwork and all the upkeep on that account is done by Nationwide.
Right.
There would be no additional work to the county. There would not affect us at all.
When I talked with them, it sounds like it's something that they do regularly. 457B will allow two different types of loans, a general type of loan or also a real estate loan. So if you have a young person looking for a down payment on the house, it would allow them access to those funds to do that as well. So,
okay.
And a real estate loan, they have different timetables as far as when you pay those back. A general loan would be 5 years. A real estate type of loan would be what you would be customary in the industry for a real estate loan, so maybe 15 years, 30 years.
And there was a cap of $50,000. You cannot borrow more than $50,000 from your account, and you have to have a minimum of $2,000 before they allow you to borrow.
The minimum is $1,000 to $50,000. Maximum is $50,000, but you can only borrow a maximum amount of half of what you have in your retirement account. So if you've got $20,000 in there, you can only take $10,000 out as far as the maximum.
What happens if the individual just draws it out and takes off?
Then they'd have to pay that back upon termination of their employment, or else it would be considered a taxable type of.
So they just up and go and move out of the country.
It's their money.
It's their money that they put into the retirement.
Yeah.
The benefit of a 457B is that with those optional provisions, they can take that out as far as a loan without having a taxable event. So if they take a loan out and they don't pay that back per the terms of that loan, that would be considered a taxable event, and that money would be considered income for that year's income taxes.
And you can only borrow half of the money that's in your account, so they still have a pretty good handle on you.
Yeah.
Because anything, if you walk out on your loan, they're going to be able to get satisfied off of the money that's still in the account.
And they don't really have to get satisfied. So
yeah. It's your,
it would allow you to take it out, but then you would be subject to a taxable event. So it would be considered income for that year's taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the... And you would lose out on that money as far as your retirement comes.
Yes.
But...
Do you put caveats around what they can withdraw it for, reasons such as buying a house or
the Internal Revenue Code 4457B only allows it for, aside from hardship, which is something that our client already allows. There's only two types that you can do it for as far as a general loan, which would be basically anything, but the repayment terms would be 5 years on that, or a real estate loan. Those are really the only two that are allowed, which would allow it to still be a 457B plan. So if you get outside the regulations of the Internal Revenue Code, then it wouldn't be a qualified plan anymore. But the two types of loans that are allowed are something that are I think, regularly done by Nationwide Retirement Solutions in regards to the, all the Appeal 457 plans that they administer.
What were the two types again?
Just a general loan for any purpose.
Oh, any purpose. You don't have to...
But the repayment terms on that would be 5 years maximum. You've got to have it paid back within that time. Whereas a real estate loan, you have a longer period to pay that back for like a down payment or something like that on the house. And when I talked with them, there are fees, but they're associated with the individual borrower. So I think there's like a $50 origination fee and then the annual $50 maintenance fee on that loan.
Are we getting requests from
people? From Lou itself.
Lou is requesting, I have had previous employees ask me about it and inquire about it and then find out that it was not an option, and they were a little upset at that time. But
and when I originally talked to Nationwide, I just called customer service. I talked to two different people on two different dates, but they thought that we originally had one until they actually started looking at our term documents, because I think it's something that they that most of the plans do allow. So. Mm-hmm.
Who decides on the loan? I mean, who decides if it's approved or denied? Nationwide?
Nationwide.
Oh, so we don't have to.
It's completely out of our hands.
It's not the county retirement plan. It's that additional optional voluntary 457B is what it's called.
Okay.
It's not the county retirement plan.
Okay.
It's not through
NACO.
Additional. It's just an optional if you want to participate outside of that.
Okay. The plan that the county has. Right.
Okay.
And so my guess is that they have pretty regular standard language to do those types of things, so that's what I think they would just establish the standard language for those types of things.
I can't really say anything wrong with it.
No, either.
I mean, if I was in their shoes, I would want
For sure,
some flexibility.
Yeah.
That's one of the...
Are you making a motion, Larry?
Yes. It's a nice day outside.
I'd second that.
Okay. Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Thanks, Luke.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Fred. Let's talk about the Tompkins overlay and what the situation is there right now.
With the snow cover on that portion of the road to be bid on, contractors weren't able to look where the patching and leveling portions were going, so I'm meeting with them tomorrow to look at that, and they'll have their bids in a week from this coming Friday, so be opened up on the next commissioner's meeting.
All right. Sounds good.
Does this inventory thing apply to the road department here? Yeah, we're supposed to...
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Let's talk about that when we get to it.
Okay.
Kim Bovey, victim's assistant. Grant the budget request for victim's assistance funding for 2019-2021 and approval of Resolution 19C-006 for the Support of Victims Crime Act grant under the Dakota County Victims Assistance Program.
I submitted the budget, so I think you all should have that, and then I keep going with the resolution to have everybody sign, and then I just put that in the file with everything for that grant here.
Okay.
This is the budget that we're currently requested from the Crime Commission, so... It's contingent. Year two funding is contingent on year one's success, I guess, if that's what you want to call it. We have to be within a certain percentage on assistance with the clients and then using the funds that we requested.
Is your office at the LEC?
Yes.
We
Any questions or discussion with regard to the Crime Commission grant with regards to victim assistance?
No, I think he's doing a good job. So you need our blessing, right? And your approval to do what you recommend. No?
Yeah, I think I just have to let you know what it's looking like and where we're at right now on finances. I did cut down some of the expenditures for, like, consultants and contracts, things like that, based off of we weren't using those funds from the last grant years, so I just cut the request down to
ballpark out. About how many families or people are you dealing with?
At the end of September of 2018, we were at 914 people.
How many?
So, 914. Mm-hmm. So we're still calculating since the grant was technically for 21 months
yeah.
last time, but that's the current number as of September. So a lot more than we normally have, actually, like almost 300 more. So it's been an influx, but it's all right. Keeps us busy.
Yeah, I'm sure.
How does the match funds get there? The match. Where's the match fund? Where do these come from?
Chief Mahon donates a percentage of his time, like 5%, towards it. And then Greg Coinsen, he does the computer technician stuff. And then the bookkeeper for the city, that kind of stuff, interns. And then the LEC is contributing a computer this year for me so that the advocate can have a new one since hers died. And then the LEC does rent, printing. The city does postage, so we can mail out the information to the victims when they need it, and then LEC goes back on the copies, too.
Thank you.
So,
So it's an in-kind match.
Basically, yes.
Yeah.
We don't exchange any actual funding, but we have to meet 20% at
20%
least.
20% is the minimum, okay.
Yeah, and then we try to come up with as much as we can, and then I have to submit for the waiver for the difference of them. But. Anything else?
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Is this something that we need to move on?
Move to approve the resolution.
I'd make a motion to approve the resolution.
For this grant?
Yep. Request.
I'll second that. The VOCA grant.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
All right, Fred, you're back at the podium.
No, Pat Sonsky.
Oh, sorry. Sit down, Liz. What are you doing? Trying to jump in front. All right, Pat. Pat Sonsky, South Sioux City Grant Administrator, requesting board approval to sign the 2019 Crime Commission Juvenile Services Application and Memorandum of Understanding application in the amount of $27,617. NCC funds $3,047 city match for one school resource advanced training and or youth mental health training and introduce Youth Citizen Academy for 40 Dakota County area youth.
I do have a modification on the budget with last minute changes.
Okay.
The requested amount is $31,945 with a match of $3,446, which is 10% of the grant, totaling $35,391. And the match is the city. City will match it 100%. And because this involves the juvenile services plan, it also requires that Dakota County Commissioners approve the application going in. The applicant is the City of South Sioux City, so we'll be managing the funds. And the project is the brainchild of Officer Cleveland here, and he can discuss a little bit regarding that.
Well, the juvenile service program that we're trying to put together is kind of like a, if you're familiar with it, if not, I'll explain a little more. Is Sioux City has what they have, this Adult Citizen Academy, and we're trying to do like a Youth Citizen Academy. We're shooting for a week-long academy, two times a day, 20 kids in the morning, 20 kids in the afternoon. Right now, we're thinking 8th graders going into 9th grade, 10th grade, and 11th graders even if we need to.
4-hour classes a day, morning and afternoon, kind of the ins and out law enforcement. Part of the reason we're doing this is community service policing. Just trying to get the youth in here to see what we really do as law enforcement officers. Drug education class as well, topic each day from vaping to marijuana to methamphetamine, which is something in this area that they deal with. Hot topics, anything from canine program demonstrations to SWAT demonstrations to our gear. We're even talking about getting a crime scene towards the end of the week and having the kids take what they learn and try to solve, like, my crime scene and Officer Hansen's crime scene. The grant is also for, like I think we talked about, the training. Right now there's some talk out in Lincoln about, do we need SROs in the schools, and the bill trying to be passed to keep SROs out of the school by a certain congressman in Nebraska here.
Mr. Chalmers.
But this would be for advanced SRO training, school resource officer training, and for mental health training for youth. There's a whole list of topics that we mm-hmm. are trying to cover here.
Mm-hmm. We also are including the Sheriff's Department in the Youth Citizens Academy, as well as officer training. So if those opportunities come in, and so part of the budget includes costs for them to go to the training, as well as costs for registration and that, and then a daily cost when they're co-training and co-participating in the Youth Citizen Academy.
Is it enhancement funds? Is that?
No, this is just strictly the Juvenile Services Crime Commission.
It's a CB?
Yes.
A CB grant?
Yes.
And I didn't hit it, but we're working with the school. What the school's going to provide, they're going to provide the classroom activities. The school right now has a breakfast and a lunch for Dakota County kids. So we're going to work that in for, you can hit breakfast in the morning, have a class, and the class ends at lunchtime, and you can hit lunch and get lunch. Part of the budget also is for snacks and things of that nature.
Will the school host it?
Yes, the school is going to host the location.
Uh-huh.
They signed off, so if we need to pick up kids, provide a van for transportation to and from if need be.
Next summer camp opportunity for kids.
Correct.
And like you say, anytime you can get them interacting with law enforcement, it's a win-win. They're more comfortable coming to you, and you know, have some better contacts in the community.
Yes. And ideally, if you speak with kids, you speak with parents, and just build some relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Is that open for all Dakota County students?
Correct.
Just South Sioux students?
No, we were including Homer students as well, all of the school district in Dakota County.
Excellent.
Except for your kids.
anything that the community and the law enforcement do for the kids, you know, I mean, that's a great program. I don't care what it is. I mean, we need to get the kids in the right direction instead of do other things.
Yeah, I agree.
We would approve, like, you would sign off as a collaborating.
Yeah, that we were also in favor of the.
Yeah. I haven't seen any paperwork at all, so. Can we see copy of some stuff, or have the county attorney look at some grants?
Absolutely.
Okay. We just want to make sure it doesn't interfere with our community-based juvenile diversion officer grant or dollars, or I thought it would be enhancement aid funds, because that grant period's over. But
because she hadn't heard of it, so.
So we want to make sure that it's consistent with our.
Do we want to take time to look at that now, or do we want to take that information and put it on them?
You probably have a deadline to get this done.
Yeah. Friday.
Okay.
Friday. In our Juvenile Services team meeting, certainly leave. That should probably go to them first. But
and here's the memorandum.
I don't know if that's something I can sit here and review in that amount of time.
Off the roof,
So it wouldn't interfere with Sarah's?
Right. The memo of understanding.
Thank you.
Sounds like a really good program.
Yeah, just make sure it's consistent with our general services.
And it is. I remember our juvenile service plan having all those goals.
Yeah.
In it, you know. Yeah. Anybody else want to look at it?
Do we match the grants given?
No, the city will match it.
The city will match it.
It's just easier to do that, and it's only a 10% match requirement, so we'll be matching.
Does that money come from the state or federal?
State, Nebraska Crime Commission, Juvenile Services.
And the sheriff is kind of in the group on this?
Yes.
Okay.
I know Chief Mahon had called him and visited with him, and I think his officers had already talked with the sheriff as well.
Sounds good. I can make a motion review with the resolution that we will sign the memorandum of understanding regarding the resource program for Dakota County youth and the Nebraska Crime Commission Juvenile Services grant application.
Seconded. Are there other places, Chad, where you can go and kind of shadow some to kind of get?
Yes, so originally we were kind of hoping to be the first in the area.
Nice.
However, all of a sudden, Sioux City has one starting May 29th. I won't say they stole my idea, but I won't say they would.
It's a little suspicious.
It's a little suspicious. So I'm planning on getting with them, and I will, as long as I get approved, go to their youth academy and see what works and what didn't work, and then work with them to figure out how to make ours better next year.
That's a it's a great idea, great plan, I think it's.
I'll call roll call. Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep. When does it start?
It will be June 2020.
Okay.
Because the grant, I think the final grant approval, if we get the money, obviously, is late June of this year, which would only give us a month to set it up.
I apologize.
Good. Sounds great.
Thank you, guys.
Yep.
Thank you.
It's nice the school's so willing to work with you, too, and everybody worked together for it.
Yeah.
Great program. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Fred, you've been trying to jump up there all day. Fred Kellogg, Highway Superintendent, to present findings and make recommendations regarding the possible vacation of County Road 250 Street minimum maintenance portion between S Avenue and Highway 35, S 14, and S 23, T 27N, R 6E.
About 3,500 feet of it.
Okay.
It's not the full mile. Highway 35 runs through it. We had a landowner that requested it, so it's the vacating of the road is, it'll reduce the liability to the county for said road. On the west end, there is a site, and it's very steep on the west end. Comes right up at the crest of the hill on S Avenue. Site problem right there. So safety, it would also benefit safety. The road has little or no traffic. It's a minimum maintenance road. And the rest comes down to commissioners and public hearing.
All right, so at this point, then, we need to set a public hearing at a future meeting. Is that correct, or?
Yes.
That's F.
Yep. All right. Approve resolution 19C-007 to set a date and time for public hearing to vacate or abandon public road 250th Street, minimum maintenance portion between S Avenue and Highway 35.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution 19C-007, setting the date for April 8th at 1:05 p.m.
Second.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
All right, next we're going to award bid for county funds, all county offices, including the elected and appointed officials for fiscal year ending June 30th, 2019, 20, and 21. What that is a bid for our audit for the next 3 years. We had just a preliminary meeting with the auditors. They're going to get all their findings together for us. They did have a number of items that they wanted us to look into. There were no major items. We did get a letter from the head of our audit. After completing the audit field work this week, it appears the county had approximately 37 findings, which would encourage the county to work on these recommendations. So they would like us to work on the findings that they came up with. Based on a review of the findings, we do not see any findings that would warrant us to require the county to have the state auditor conduct a 2019 audit. So therefore, it will be the county board's decision to contact us for the 2019 audit or not. So they didn't find anything that was, you know, damning to the point where they really felt that they should come back and follow up on. They did find a number of things that they would like us to clean up, and those things we'll be addressing in the future. So we'll go ahead and open the bids and see what it looks like.
State bid.
All right. The state's bid for the 3 year cycle. $18,500 per year.
It's a 3 year bid.
Yep. And they will only charge for actual hours. So if it would come in less number of hours, they figure about 400 hours for this audit. And if it would come in under that, then they would only charge for the hours that they worked. The other bid is from Roman Weimers. They've done our work in the past. Got to be in there somewhere. Okay. Their proposal would be for 2019, $15,250. 2020, $15,600, and your 2021, $15,950. Says if an audit of the federal funds is required, there would be an additional fee of $2,000 to $2,500. Is that something that's happened in the past, Joan, audit of the federal?
we have to receive $750,000 in federal funds before an A-133 is what they call it, audit is required, and we have not met that. Actually, we have to spend that much.
The second bid is a little bit cheaper, approximately $3,000 a year. I don't know. I guess my feeling is, with the things that we've come up with through our audit, I kind of feel that it would be nice if the state could come back and we could clear all of those items up, because I don't know that the guys who would use previously, you know, had not hit on all these. The state definitely does a more thorough audit, and I guess just my feelings are they. I know that they get into a lot more areas than the standard audit, and until we were, you know, had a little better clean bill of health, I guess I would be more comfortable having the state do the follow up. But
I
that's up to.
So we aren't required to take the low bid. We can go with the one we feel.
Mm-hmm.
I've only been around the state group that we met last week, and I was very impressed with.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it was ethical for a government agency to bid against public entities.
You know, I don't know what the story is on that, Larry. You know, I understand what you're saying, but
I mean, like that'd be like me going out to bid on a highway project and the state's bidding against me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not, I mean, I don't know if it'd be illegal, but it's sure not ethical. I'm not saying that we on Mars, Iowa, though, we bid against the city in a couple of cases, you know what I mean?
But I know
they want to work for the guys, you know. We didn't really bid against them. They just said they could do it for cheaper, similar to Aaron Downey. You know, like Fed, he could say, well, we could do it cheaper, we just do it. Even after taking bids, which has been done in the past.
Mm-hmm. I know exactly what you're saying. I grew up in a household where I had a dad that was a contractor and a mom that was a real estate agent, and there's real estate agents that are building houses. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's lots of those murky areas.
Yeah.
So I understand exactly what you're saying.
Plain old corruption.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
We'll see you.
Yeah.
Has Roman given us an itemized list of their billable hours in the past? Okay.
But I understand what you're saying,
mm-hmm.
Marty.
Yeah.
Because I do feel the state's probably a little more thorough.
Yeah, and they would. Yeah, they just are. They just are.
Well, they had 37 findings. Just.
Yeah.
They had a group of, you know, 3 to 4 people here for
six
of them for how many, 5 or 6 days?
10.
The better part of 10 days. And normally how long are our other people here?
2.
And how many of them are?
1.
1 guy for 2
but
days.
All they do is just see if the book's balanced, don't they?
Yeah, and they do draw some tests, you know, some random tests out of each area. I think they're required to do that. But I think that the state's is much more thorough. Not saying that after we went through our time frame and at the end of that, if things were, you know, we're coming through and we're not having, you know, 37 notifications of things we need to look at. A lot of that stuff is just really simple stuff to clean up. I also think it helps motivate people to clean everything up if
that's
they know
true.
That the state is going to come back and do it again, whereas the other people we've had haven't, you know, made the distinction that something has to be done. So I guess I feel it's a little bit of a way to ensure that some of the things get addressed too.
That cleanup would be applied to what I brought up a little bit ago around the yards. And we wouldn't have to do inventory on the stuff that don't run. It should be sold to iron people.
Because
you got them two scrapers.
Scrappers.
Hey, let's finish this one, Larry.
Well, I think it first set eyes. I like the idea of the state coming in.
I do, too.
Yeah, and they've got a statute that allows it, 84-304.
Okay. All right, anybody want to make that motion?
I do make the motion to stay where it stays out of interest.
I can second that.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
I know I have an agenda here somewhere.
You lost it.
All right. Brett, why don't we come up and do that road report? You're kind of dominating this meeting today.
February 24th through the 9th, March 9th, 10 hours of road maintenance, overtime 71 hours, debris removal 15, snow removal 456, no rock haul. Signs and barricades, 7 hours. Road concerns, grading L Avenue, Nottaway. Snow removal, had one person on Q Avenue call.
Are you ready for the sloppy season?
I am not ready for it, but it comes every year. So
it's coming up.
Not my favorite time of year, but
I hear you. I hear you. Anybody else got any questions for Fred?
No back out inventory thing. Those two scrapers, neither one of them run, right?
Not the one in Homer's been cannibalized. This one out here has got a problem with the steering, and the last time we had John Deere come out, they said they couldn't find it. It's one of the old electric ones. It isn't like a hydraulic lever. You got the electric switches. And it seems to have a lot of electrical problems with it, Larry.
So I guess if we're not going to fix them, why do we have them around?
I have suggested that we trade and get newer. We budgeted for it at times, and it was always denied out of my budget.
Well, I got to understand why, because if a guy was going to buy anything decent, it'd be a couple hundred thousand. You know.
What's that?
Well, I can understand why, because if a guy was going to buy anything decent, it'll be a couple hundred thousand bucks. The new ones are about 380 or 90.
I think John Deere said they were going to even quit making them.
No, they don't make them. They haven't made them for several years. But 6 thirds of the Caterpillar are still building them. But they're the only ones that I'm aware of.
But I would be all in favor of finding one that we could use.
And I don't know. I mean, they could be good and bad, too. You know, you can wind up with somebody the same thing. But anyway, another thing is that the tractor down at Homer with a cedar on the back of it, is that right?
That must not be. That must be the city's.
You think maybe it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We don't have a tractor, huh?
No. I was back there, and I didn't look real close. But anyway, then there's some other stuff around the yard out at Homer Hubbard. Like the sander, what are we going to do with that thing?
The sander's pretty well a junk. We took off the spreader off the back. That spreader was only 3 or 4 years old, stainless steel, it's sitting inside the shop. We kept it till we got the new one, and the new one, of course, came, and we haven't done anything with the old one. Probably turned into scrap. We could put it on our inventory sales just to see if we got a bid.
Do we have to have that stuff around for...
We can't just get rid of anything. It's all covered by statute. We have to have a surplus sale and declare it obsolete.
Right. But we don't have to have it around for equity.
No, there's not like a loan against that 100-year-old scraper as part of this. No,
as long as we declare it surplus, then he can get rid of it.
Right. And then that old low boy, what about that thing?
The old what?
The low boy.
It's just what I'd like to see there is we have a flatbed and an old low boy, maybe trade them off for a side dump.
Well, that's logic, yeah. Now, there's another dump box up in the weeds up on the top on the north side of the yard. What's that thing like?
It came off an old international truck when the truck went out. We got an old box.
There's an old side dump looking thing up there. Or is that exactly?
That little side dump thing we tried to use it. It was an old reject from
Circle R?
Circle R, and we tried to use it for hot mix.
Oh.
And it didn't work very good.
Oh.
It, I mean, we didn't have no hydraulic cylinders. We just scooped out of it. And we found out that our little dump truck that we have purchased now, it works much better.
Yeah.
Just boil it down good and use our hot mix out of that.
Mono,
but that's what we tried at one time, but it didn't. It was always at the side, and you know, of course, your potholes are always behind you, so it didn't work very good. But we used an old pickup box for years before that.
I don't know. It just looks to me rather than weeding the tree going up around the stuff. They ought to get cleaned the place up, get rid of it, mold the stuff. Then you know, the way it is now, junky.
Hey, Kevin. The sheriff is on a transport, so could you just skim his report real quick?
I can.
He said he'd be do his best to be at our next meeting.
Thanks, Freddie. Okay, our jail report from March, we had 83 county inmates, 31 federal, .07 juveniles, a total of 114. Our 2019 calendar, the average inmates per day was 82 county, 30 federal, .03 juvenile, and 112 in-house. 2018 to 2019 fiscal average inmate per day, 86 county, 27 federal, .02 juvenile, and 113 total in-house. Federal income for February marshals was $47,000. February ICE was $12,000. The others and BIA was $65, and total for February federal was $59,000. Fiscal marshals $365,000. Fiscal ICE $93,000. Fiscal BIA $1,800, and fiscal federal of $460,000. So far, our calendar year for federal is 124. We've got 3,800 in February contracts, fiscal contracts of 43,000. Our cost inmate per day is 6,120, which was higher than January. I think we had a low of 40. In the mid-40s to low-40s last year.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. Why is it so high now?
I think they've had a bunch of medical.
Medical?
Yeah, there's getting to be more medical issues, and it's just kind of a trend in the wintertime, it seems like, as we tend to get more people that come to jail for medical needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
And warm.
Yeah. It's winter. In the wintertime, you'll get more of it. In the summertime, you'll get less of it. Kind of a trend. So the jail spent $197,000 in the month of February. It's at 66% of the yearly budget or 0% over budget. 65% of the total estimated yearly budget in February. And the jail has spent $4,143 less than allocated for February, 2% under the budget. February bookings, Sheriff's Office 23, State Patrol 4, South Sioux 27, Court Self 15, Feds of 31, and Other of 7.
All right, well, thank you, Kevin.
That's the report.
107. Good report.
Tiffany is under the weather. Got a text from her that she is not feeling well at all, so we'll catch up with her next time around.
Okay.
Next, we approve resolution 19C-008, establishing a petty cash amount for the accounts payable impress account in the office of the county clerk.
This was one of those cleanup things that the count, that the state auditors, the accounts payable account that we issue accounts payable checks with every month has a $1,000 minimum balance, and we couldn't find anywhere. It's probably been around for 40, 50 years, I'm guessing. I couldn't find any documentation that allowed a $1,000 minimum balance, so they said just make up another resolution. So
this was your general fund?
No, it's the accounts payable.
Accounts payable
account. It just stays in the accounts payable and prep account, so that... Every once in a while, we get a return check charge or, you know, or something, or stop payment charge, so then you're not all your... It pretty much zeroes itself out each month. The checks get cash-free, and we stay on top of it. But.
Okay, so we need to approve resolution 19C-008. Yep. That's my motion.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Good.
So we got 35 things to clear up still through this.
That's day. Right. We're getting there.
You're down.
We got it. We're going to have one right here, too.
Oh,
the next one.
All right.
It's a cleanup.
Approved resolution 19C-009, establishing an inventory policy.
I think that's pretty self-explanatory. Mm-hmm. I'll make that motion to approve resolution 19C-009.
Second.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
G is also something that was brought to our attention. Bob Giese, Treasurer, requesting Board approve resolution 19C-010 regarding the county becoming a participant in the Nebraska Public Agency Investment Trust for the purchase of joint investment of Dakota County's monies and other public agencies, so to enhance the investment earnings occurring to each such public agency. What it is, it's a place where at times when the county has more money than
to pledge security.
Yeah, at our local banks, they can put the money into this fund. It has a little better interest rate, and we don't have to worry about, you know, anything being over any FDIC requirements at the banks. And it's a practice that a lot of counties use. It's a joint fund. They can wire money in, wire money out the same day. And
we've got more money than we can have in a bank.
Well, you know, at times, you know, when you get, say it's tax day, everybody brings their money in. So for a short while you do.
Oh.
And then it starts going back out.
Rather than having 10 banks.
Yeah.
It's best to.
Yeah. Yeah. And the banks don't have to get a, what's the word I'm looking for?
Pledge securities. And they don't have enough securities to pledge.
So the local banks they wouldn't mind them not having to do that, you know. So, and there were times in the audit years where we did have maybe more funds in some accounts than we should have, or more money in there than was secured. So it just gives you a...
What is the max now? Is it 200,000?
250.
250?
Is FDIC insured.
Okay.
You know, sometimes we'll come with 3 to 4 million in a month if there's all the tax receipts. Not
if Larry
just
pays
money.
His taxes.
Yeah.
I do that before the first year. Well, that's the only time I've got any money, and if I don't do it, then I'll never get paid.
I can make that motion to approve 19C-010 regarding participating in the Nebraska Public Agency Investment Trust. For Dakota County monies to enhance our investment earnings, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
I'd second that.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yes. All right, Commissioner Committee reports.
Mine?
Oh, yeah. Not mine.
I don't supposed to answer. That's not my wife.
I have a good manners to turn mine on sideways.
No, I did, but I didn't answer. Oh. It's just for an emergency situation.
Oh. Okay.
So, yeah, it's my wife. I don't know what she wants. Okay.
Cool.
Yeah. No, we still got a little bit left.
Okay.
Any commissioner community reports?
Brilliant.
All righty. Mail or emergency business. We had the bid there, but anything else in the mail?
Why did I shut it off?
Emergency business? Okay. Do you need to talk to us before we adjourn?
We have a safe meeting at
the Okay. So then we're going to go ahead and adjourn with a reminder that the 42nd Annual Joint County City School Meeting will be held on March 18th at 5:30 at the Don Sports Bar and Grill on 1801 West 13th, which is the old Eagles Club building.